Blog Talk Radio.
Friday morning for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com. Or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome this Tuesday, the day after 4th of July. Well, I hope you had a great and wonderful weekend. I hope you had no tragedies, no circumstances, no crises, that everything was, as they say, smooth sailing. Well, we had big fun over this way on the Northeast, everything quiet on the set. So we are very, very thankful for that. Well, if you can, if you like to tweet and give me your comments, your opinions about the show, please do. You can go to my Twitter page, twitter.com/CoachLalisa, and my page will come up. Or you can make a comment right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/CoachLalisa. Or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/CoachLalisa. Well, we are getting ready for to start the rest of the week. This is what we call a short week. For those of us who have to go to work, it is, well, some people have to go to work, and some of us go to play. Yes, some of us, my good friend Adele Foster always says, make work play. And so some of us, when you do what you love, you're basically, you've made work play. It's no longer work. We don't even have the right to call it work. We actually call it play. And with that being said, that means that we also get paid to play. You know, they say it, my mother used to always say, it costs to be the boss. And now I know what she means. And so she's talking about putting in on the front end, rather the back end. And unfortunately, so many people wait to the back end to begin to begin to put things in. But if you put it in on the front end, you'll have a much longer time to play. So we want to encourage people to do that. Put in the hard, in other words, put in the hard work up front. So we have great things in store for you. The Coach Lalisa Show, we are part of the Women's Empowerment Book Club. So, yes, we are officially a part of that organization. And we are as their featured author for the month of July. So all month long, the book, Release Your Power, it's a motivational, inspirational, and empowerment book. It's going to be the featured book for the month of July 2011. It's going down in history, the Empowerment, Motivational, and Life Coaching book is the feature book for the month of July. So please tell everyone you know about this book, Release Your Power. You want people empowered. You have family members, cousins, friends, people that you know are suffering from de-empowerment. These are people in a very deep depression. If you know anyone that's depressed, that's being oppressed, then this is a perfect book for them because it will motivate you and empower you, inspire you, and then coach you out of your depression. So it's a life coaching book. You want to get it in the hands of yourself if you haven't read the book. If you want to join the book club, then this Saturday, the book club will have its monthly meet and greet every month. The book club, the Women's Empowerment Book Club, which you can find more about them on Facebook. Go to their Facebook page, Women's Empowerment Book Club. You can join the book club. I don't think there's a fee to join the book club, but they do encourage all of the members. They have over 400 members. They do encourage all of the members to purchase books from the authors that they feature. Now, all year long, they've been featuring authors like author Rebecca Simmons. She's had several books featured there. And these books you can still purchase through them. And then they had another woman, Deb Weiler, I can't think of her first name. They featured her book. And also Miss Denise Dance, her book, Lose It Before You Lose It. So many books they featured all year long, and now they've come to October and the October feature. But all this was planned out. She had the whole year planned out from the beginning of the year. So this month was scheduled for Release Your Power. So that's what's happening. So I tell you, you can release your power for real, for real. You can live your dreams. You can explode. Now, here's the thing. If you tap into your power, and if you really just, I mean, if you just tap into it a little bit, you will absolutely explode. There is so much power inside of you in terms of your hidden treasures, gifts, skills. And people might say, well, what do you mean, Coach Lalisa? You talk a lot about hidden treasures. Well, hidden treasures for pirates on a big ship might be gold and silver and other types of writing and scrolls and things that they may discover, other artifacts that they discover for a pirate. That might be a hidden treasure. But for humans, for you and for me, when we say the word hidden treasures, well, we're not talking about necessarily the physical gold or physical silver, but we're talking about something that is more precious. You know, people think gold is very, very precious. Gold and silver, diamonds are very precious, right? I mean, most people, oh my goodness, you know, when we were kids, if mama had a diamond ring, oh, you didn't touch it. It was very precious. It was very sacred. You know, gold and silver, you see how people treat it. Go to a jewelry store and you see where they keep the gold and the silver and the diamonds and the pearls. They keep it all behind lock and key. It's very precious. And so what you have down on the inside of you, the reason we're calling it a treasure, because it's also very precious, much like natural silver and gold. But it's not silver and gold, though if you use it the proper way, it can get you some silver and gold, that's for sure. But it's more precious. It's more precious than silver and gold. But what you have down on the inside of you, you have your talents, your abilities, your gifts. Your gifts, you know, your gifts. There's something out there in the world, something in the universe that is waiting for your specific gift. And I know some people, they don't believe that. They don't understand it. So therefore, they do not operate in it. Because remember, Dr. Miles Monroe says, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So some people are really not operating in their power, in their gifts. They have not really released their power because they don't really know what their purpose is. They don't really know what it is. But your gift is needed in the world somewhere. But you won't know until you begin to operate in your gift. And how can you operate in your gift if you don't even know what it is, if you don't even know you have it? Now, some people know they have a gift, and they don't use it. Well, remember what happened. There's a story about these three men, I'll say. But it could have been a woman, men, women. So these three men, and they were each appointed some money, a certain amount of money. And that money is precious. Most people believe that. No money is precious as well because it can buy us things that we need to better our lives. So these three men were given money each, but not of the same amount. So one person was only given one, the other person was given two, and the other person was given five pieces of this money, so to speak. And these three men, each given something, though, no one left out. Well, the one with the five went out and began to do business with his five shares of whatever, began to do business, and it began to multiply and actually doubled his five. And so now he had 10. And the one with the two did the same. He went out and went to work and nurtured and grew what he had to the fact that it doubled. So he now had four. Well, the one with the five and the one with the two, that was great, right? They doubled. And so when their master came back to see how they had fared, now the one didn't do anything. Actually, well, they did something. He didn't invest. He didn't go to work and make it better. He didn't invest. He didn't go to work and make it better. He didn't grow it in any kind of way. He took it and he hid it. So he did something. So remember, even a negative choice is still an action. Even when you don't do anything, really, you still made a choice. Because you made a choice to not do anything. So for some people who feel they don't have the power to choose, well, you're choosing anyway, whether you do something great, do something not so great, or whether you do nothing. It's still a choice. So the one who hid it, so when the master came back through, he took the one with the 10 and was very happy and very encouraged by what he had done and said, "You have been very faithful." You see, it takes faith to use your gifts. Takes faith to understand what talents you have and what abilities. He says you are faithful, and so now I'm going to give you more. Go on and enjoy what you have doubled. And so he went and he continued on happily, joyfully. The one with the two who had doubled it and now had four, he said the same thing to him. "You've done well. I'm very happy. I'm very encouraged. Very proud of you. Here's more. Continue on, because see, you're already doing it. So just continue doing what you do. Now, the one with the one who really thought he was doing something great by hiding. It was like he felt he was preserving what he had, since he really, probably the bottom line was he really didn't know what to do. However, what could he have done? Well, he could have followed the other two. You see, there are people around you every day that are doing what is profitable. You could follow them. You know, they say success leaves clues. There's a clue out there of what to do with your time, with your money, with your talents. There are clues all around us. And so he could have, even if he didn't know what to do, he could have simply followed the other two. That would have been the smartest thing to do. But no, he chose to get into his own head. See, sometimes it's not good just to get into your own head. You know, I know sometimes we think we're so smart and we know so much. But there are times when you have to get out of your own way. We call it getting out of your own way. There are many people I see, they are in this situation, whether it be financially, it could be career-wise, it could be in their marriage or raising their children. They really don't know what to do, and instead of following someone who's already done that, you know what they say, been there, done that, and, well, I was going to this one church for a while, and the pastor would say, been there, done that, moving on, been there, done that, moving on. That was about 10 years ago, and I used to think that was so cool. Been there, done that, moving on. Because, you know, so many people, been there, done that, but they're stuck. Been there, done that, but they're doing it again. Been there, done that, but I ain't through yet. As opposed to been there, done that, and moving on. I'll never forget that. He was pretty cool. So this last man who could be out enjoying, you would think he had only the one. The other ones at least had more. And see, that's how it is sometimes. You see, the person who you would think has the easiest task still may not get it done. The other ones obviously had harder because they had more. Because to whom much is given, much is required. So they had more to do. Because that's how we are sometimes. We see people with a big house and we think, oh, I wish I had a big house. You know, sometimes I know people do, oh, I wish I had this big house. And, you know, God is saying, well, you can't keep the apartment together. So what would you do with the big house? With the big house, you just have more rooms to clean, more floors to scrub, more walls to wash down or paint or whatever you do, you got more of it. You got more rent to pay, more mortgage, more house to heat, more house to cool, more house to furnish. I mean, with more comes more responsibility and more work. Same thing with businesses. Everybody wants to start out with a big business. But just, can you handle just a little home-based business? You know, a lot of people, they turn their noses up to, say, the multi-level marketing companies. And you know, because with a multi-level marketing business, you know, you could be in business for like $10. You know, there are people who say, oh, I can start a business. But yet, they don't. But you could take $10 and join, let's just say, Avon. I'm just using that as an example because I think it's very cheap to join Avon and become an independent rep, which is like being an independent business owner, right? And so they won't do that, but yet they scream that they can run a business. Well, the best indicator of what you can do is sometimes look at what you've done. And that's how companies are hiring today. I was sharing this with a few students. We were hiring like that back in 1998 when I was a staffing rep at Continental Airlines. That's how we hired. We hired using this technique called behavioral interviewing. Behavioral interviewing is a technique that says the best indication to us as a company or an organization, a department or whatever, the best indication to us that you're going to come here and do what it needs to work as a secretary, as a administrator, whatever safety officer, whatever job we have available, facility manager, it doesn't matter. But the best indication to us that you're going to do this job is that you've already done it. And so the interview is all based on what you've done before. Now, that interviewing technique was very new at the time, or mostly new, I should say. I had only been interviewing, like, right then when I got that job is when I got into interviewing. Well, I had done some interviewing, but not a trained, skilled interviewing, because I was a store manager in 96, 97 with Dress Barn Clothing Store, and we used to have to hire people to work in the store. So I've done interviewing, not to this level, for a major Fortune 500 airline. So, you know, a lot of training went into that. So here we are, and they're training us that we have to see if a person has done it before. So the interviewing is different, though, than other types of interviewing where you want the person not so much to talk about what they've done individually, but you want them to talk about maybe what their team has done or what their department has done. That's the old way of interviewing and still used in a lot of places, probably. But the behavioral interviewing says, no, let's talk about what you did. Because people can say, oh, I worked in a team and we were very successful. Okay, but they could have all been working while you were chilling. So it still could have, they could have been a success, but what part did you play? And so people in the past were used to the old way of interviewing where you just spoke in terms of we and the team, which is still, again, no good indication to me of what you did, what part you played. So that old way is how people was used to interviewing. So the new interviewing would catch people off guard. So we were hiring, we would interview people, and they were failing the interview right and left, failing one after another, because they didn't understand that what we were looking for were your own experiences of what you did. So we would have a little format, and we would ask them, you know, tell us about a time when you did something. And see, people had not been used to that. And so they went into interviews, because before, you were told in interviews, don't speak of I, don't speak of what I've done. It's about what the team did. Well, this new type of interviewing said, no, it is about what you did. We want to know what, because we want to know what you're going to do here, because you're not bringing the team with you. You know, the team is still working back at blah, blah, blah company. No, we need to know what Lalisa is going to do here in this department. So the best way for me to tell what Lalisa is going to do in this department, I need to know what you did in your other job. And so that's what we're talking about. And the same thing with the man who hid his talent, hid his money, basically representing his talent, because we use our talents to get money. We know that, unless, of course, you are born the descendant of a multimillionaire. You may not have to use a talent to do anything, but yet you have enough money now to hone any talent you want. Like I heard about this, I think he was from Arab. He was from another country where he was horrible at soccer, but he wanted to play so bad, and he wanted to, I think, like play in the Olympics or whatever. He was horrible, though, but he wanted to do it desperately. And maybe some of you have heard about him. I think it was hockey. No, soccer. It was one of soccer or hockey. He wanted it so badly that he went and hired the best player. He hired the best trainer, the best everything to train him. And he just could not do it. So, you know, there are those cases where people, but the fact is that he had the money to get the training, even though it didn't make him any better. But if you have this talent that you should use, well, you heard what happened with the person with the 5, the person with the 2, now the person with the 1 went and buried their treasure, And their master came back, of course, was happy with the others and proud and encouraged and motivated and gave them more. So what did he do with the person who hid their one? They were either afraid, they were scared. That was no excuse. Maybe they felt they didn't know what to do. Like we were saying, they could have followed the leader. Well, what happens? What do they end up doing? He ends up getting in lots of trouble. Lots of trouble. Lots and lots of trouble. Yeah, I'm just getting over to the chat room. Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show. So he ends up getting he was penalized very heavily for hiding his talent. Penalized, literally sentenced to a death sentence, basically. If it was today, it would be a person that would be, like, put on death row for not using, just for not using one. It wasn't like he had, say, 100 and didn't use it, okay? It wasn't like a big waste, but it was just one, just one. So just imagine that being you. Just imagine having one, just one. Because some people, they don't feel that they're one thing is important, or they don't feel their one gift is needed, or they don't believe that their one ability is an opportunity that can make them super wealthy. You know, God can give you one idea that can make you rich. Well, I thank Blog Talk for reconnecting me now. They're funny. All of a sudden I heard just a dial tone. Okay, here we are back in the studio. Okay, that was funny. So that one talent, that one gift that you have, maybe you have two, maybe you have five, maybe you have 25. What we learn from that story is that there are variations in what people have. But no one's better than the other because of what they have. And that's another reason why we don't look at what other people have and begin to judge ourselves. Oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. But that's what people do. Unfortunate. That is so, so, so unfortunate to look at what someone else has on their plate. Basically, that's like food. You know, you're looking, you know you're allergic to shrimp, but you're looking at someone's plate who has shrimp on it and saying, well, I wish I could have that. Well, why? Because you're allergic to it. So if you had it, you'd die, or you take a chance with your life. So why even want what someone else has? But it's done a lot around the world. It's a common thing. You even have countries. One country wants what another country has. That's why we have war and great wars. Because people want what someone else has. They're not satisfied with what they have. They're not using to the highest level what they have. As we saw with the story of the men, the one with the two did not sit back and try to figure out why the one with the five, had three more than he had. He just went and operated in his two and was given more after he doubled what he had. In other words, go and use what's in your own hand. Stop looking at other people. Now, sure, we're going to look to others for leadership, for role modeling, for mentoring. Of course, that's okay. Sure, everyone has mentors and role models and leaders, partners, people that they collaborate with. But people must be very, very careful and watch out for that behavior that would make us say, but I want what they have. No, don't want what they have, because God gave you what you got. There's no need to want what somebody else has is like slapping God in the face and saying, why did you give me this? You made a mistake. Yeah, that's what it's like. When we're not happy with what we got on our plate, physically, mentally, spiritually, you can grow. And so, because if he gave you a little, you can make a lot, right? It says, got a mustard seed of faith, you can begin, you can plant it as a seed. You can plant anything as a seed and it'll grow. So, but to not be happy, well, not to use what you have, because first of all, the first thing to know is that if you use it, you're going to get more. You see, that's how you get more. But this is what we talk about in the book. For so some people are saying, well, I have the book Release Your Power, and I didn't get all of that out of it. Well, you might want to go back and read it again. Did you ever notice how with some movies, you can watch that movie like 8 times, and every time you watch it, you pick out something else. You ever had that happen before? I've had that happen to certain movies. Certain movies, you watch it, and you go back, and you watch it again, you see something different. You go back, you watch it again, and something else, okay? And so I believe that's what's happening also with that book. I have had people to tell me that that's what they deal with when they're reading that book. It's like they read it once, they go back. I had another lady who was in Atlanta, Georgia, and she found my number, and I really had forgotten about this woman. But she called me up out of the blue, it seemed to me, and she said, this was about maybe last year sometime, or a little over a year. She said, I just wanted to call you and tell you that, you know, I read your book again, and I was going through some things, and it motivated me. And she had already read the book a couple of years prior to that. So I'm saying that to say, you might say, well, I read the book and I didn't find that in there. Well, read it again. Let it empower you and inspire you to take your talent, your skills, your abilities, whether it's one or it's 1,000, and use it. There are so many things in the world right now where you can use it. There's so many people on the verge. There's so many, oh my goodness. If we've ever seen a time like this before, I don't know when it was. Somebody please tell me. Clue me in to when we've ever seen a time like this where people, little young people, old people, middle-aged people, all kinds of people are on the verge. It's like crazy. You know, there was a time when I would say, oh, I don't want to watch the news, too much negativity. But now you got to watch the news to see where the next idiotic thing is going to happen. You want to make sure it's not next door. But just crazy stuff I saw in the news. I mean, you know, they had a young lady in the news. I saw this one on Facebook. A young girl, like maybe 19 or so, takes her baby that's only months young enough to be in a stroller, smothers the baby, kills the baby, puts it in a stroller, and strolls off to the mall shopping, walking around with this baby and a dead baby in a stroller. Just crazy stuff. The stuff that, you know, it's like, okay, wait a minute, what is really going on? So these young mothers, just imagine, could they have had a nice seminar or topic on how to wait to have a child so that you don't run into those instances where you can't now take care of it. Then there was another woman, they said that, now I see why they don't want you to hit children. Before, I couldn't figure that out because I know my mother beat us. So I'm from the era, we got beat. But now I can understand a little bit better, maybe not totally, but a little bit. But there was a woman, I forget if she was in New York, I believe, somewhere, just the other day, just June 30th or so. She took her 5-month-old son who had broke the TV set. He broke the TV set, and he was playing the Wii game or Nintendo or something he was playing, and he broke the TV. The mother was so furious that she took her hand and she hit this five-year-old kid in the back twice, then hit him in the stomach twice. She hit the kid so hard that the kid began to vomit, and then the kid began to complain of pain, gross pain. She was afraid that if she took him to the hospital, she would get in trouble. This was just June 30th. Well, she didn't take him to the hospital. 5 days went by. The child literally died from internal infections and all that stuff, from a hit, because he broke the television. How do you hit your child so hard? Now, I remember when we were kids, we broke up furniture because we were wild. It was seven of us. I mean, you knock over a lamp, you know. Sure, we would have knocked over a TV, too, if we would have had those TVs back in those days. They were made so sturdy, it was kind of hard to knock. Remember, they were in a big box. It's kind of hard to knock them over, but I know my niece broke a TV not too long ago. I can't imagine, well, my sister's grandchild, and she was maybe like, what, three? No, four. She had to be like four or five. But, oh my, she knocked over, she broke at least a $2,000 flat screen TV. She was throwing something with her brothers and her other little cousin. They were tossing something in the house, some type of object, and the object went into the TV and broke it. But I can't imagine, wow, what if my sister had been so upset that she would have taken and hit this kid in the stomach, in the back, twice. Wow, that is really scary. So you may have a gift to talk to young parents, because I think the woman of this five-year-old wasn't very old herself. And that was a news article I found actually online. But so I'm telling you, we're in a time right now where a lot of people need to release some of godly power. They need to release some helping power. They need to release some knowledgeable power. And so you have something that you can do, I'm sure. But that's what the book is about. So we wanted to let you know that. For those of you who want to join the book club, please do. If you are able to attend the meet and greet, you would have to contact me for information, or contact Lady Diana Flagg or Tina Lane. But, wow, there's just a lot of things going on right now. So now I watch the news on purpose. Like before, I didn't care much to watch the news because so much negative things. But now I watch because you got to keep, it's like a sign of the times. There's more and more things happening. So we have to get out there with our talents and our gifts and our skills and our abilities to help. We still have an obligation. You know, people say, well, I can't stop it. I can't make it go away. No, but you still have to make an attempt. Yeah, you're left here to make an attempt. You don't get to say, well, I didn't do anything because it seemed hopeless. No, you don't get that opportunity. You got to make it happen with what you got. And you got to save as many as you can. It's like a chess game. You know, when you're playing chess, you want to get as many pawns as you can, right, before the end of the game. So you want to save as many as God has put in your path, in your area, in your territory. And we all got our territories. And don't worry, it's a supernatural territory, so it doesn't mean you can't go. It's not like in some, you know, some situations where you can't go on that street because it's owned by those people and they'll murder you if you come over there. No, the territory is supernatural. So it's wherever you are, that's your territory. Whoever God moves you to, that's your territory. Take it. And don't worry again. Don't worry about what other people have. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just do your part. Use your gift. Use your talent that God has given you. So I started all, I said all that to say that everyone has within them these hidden talents and gifts. They're there. You may not know it's there, but it's there. You may not feel it's there. It's there. And so the book, help, what it does for people is, you know, there's something about the mind. The mind, boy, oh, the mind is a very interesting thing. I wish I had started studying the mind when I was like probably like 5. That would have been a good age. But at least by age, say 9, you know, instead of me being out doing nothing, just listening to the whatnots, the Dells, the moments, the Delphonics and all that stuff, I should, yeah, because if I was old enough to listen to all of that, I was certainly old enough to pick up a book and study the mind. You know, it's like amazing. Parents think their children are too young, but they're not too young to learn how to do the stinky leg. That should be an indication. If your child can do the quote-unquote stinky leg, they're old enough to learn anything else. And that's a dance, for those of you who don't know, that's out right now. Well, I don't know if it's out right now, but it's been out for a couple years. But it might, as a matter of fact, it might be stinky leg 2 now because it's gotten more advanced. That's what I've seen some young people doing. I'm talking about, yeah, I've seen like a little 5-year-old doing it as if, I seen a 5-year-old doing it as if she could qualify to be one of those solid gold dancers. Remember the girls that used to be with In Living Color or something like that, or Living Color Dance or whatever they call it? Well, yeah, she qualifies for that. She's about 5. So I say, yeah, I wish I had started studying the brain at age. Well, wouldn't that be something good to know how that works? That would be important, right? Studying how the brain works, but the brain is very, very, very interesting. And it is something about the brain. And the brain has all of these little neurons. That much I know. I saw a lady talking about it on television. So I'm not making this up, I promise. But the brain has like billions of these little neutrons. And each of these neutrons carry like a code of information. So in other words, if I read a book now, it'll connect with some neutron of something I read before about that topic or subject. Okay, so same thing with experiences. When you experience something that you've already experienced before, the new experience first goes in and tries to find something in your brain, that neuron that's already happened. If not, it'll create a new one. And so we have this ability. So the reading books like that and other books, what happens is our neurons are now stimulated. So while a person might say, but yeah, but I already know that, but they can't figure out why they're not operating in it. All right, they may be waiting. So that's why you hear people say connect the dots, missing pieces, because it really does work like that in the brain. Same thing with a computer. You know how sometimes a computer doesn't work because there's a connection's not there or there's a missing piece. Okay, so the brain works in a similar format. So that's why you have to renew your mind. And that's why it has to be renewed day by day. Renew the mind day by day. So now, what are you going to do then? Well, you're going to use your talent, use your gift, discover what it is, and when you discover your gift and your talents, however many they are, if they're 1 or if they're 101, doesn't matter. Write them all down. When you discover them and you begin to use them, your life will explode. It will simply explode. You will explode in several ways. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, your life will explode. You will be on fire. You will be fired up. You will transition. You will no longer, for the most part, you will no longer be a person who complains because you will be too busy operating your gifts and your talent. You'll be too busy to notice what you don't have. Okay, you'll be too busy to notice what you don't have because you will be so busy using what you do have. That's how it works. That's how come people who are highly successful, that's how they do it. They're not sitting around, so people want to know, everybody wants to know, well, how do you do it? Well, that's the secret. I let it out, I know. That's the secret. You don't sit around complaining about what you do not have. You could do that. That's your choice. But you don't. We don't do that. We are doing. We're so busy doing that we're not focused on what we don't have. By the time we realize what we don't have, okay, by the time we figure that out, oh, well, I don't have this or that, we've already gotten the thing done. And then it's a moot point, okay? Oh, I didn't have what? Obviously, I didn't need it. That's the key there. You don't need what you don't have, people. Get over it. It was like the woman who had nothing but a jar. And she went and got more jars. She told her to go get all the jars you can get. She had just one little bit of oil left. She didn't have any jars to put it in. And he said, well, just start pouring. You're going to start pouring what you got, using what you got, and don't worry about what you ain't got. Somebody, just like with her, somebody's going to show up that's going to give you what you think you ain't got. But if you go on and use what you do have, you just let that resonate for a while. Just use what you got. You know, I know James Brown sang that song years ago. Use what you got to get just what you want. And that's what so many people, that's why so many people are losing it right now. And it is very sad. In this economy right now, there are so many people losing it because they are not using what they have. They're complaining about what they don't have. And every time you do that, every time a person does that, they set themselves back farther and farther. Every time you complain about what you don't have, you've just added literally another year on to not getting what you deserve. Or sometime has been added on to how much longer you won't get what you want because of the complaining. Now, some people, they're very good at not complaining. They're very good at that. They don't complain about anything. And you might say, well, I know people, Coach Lalisa, they don't complain about not having things, but yet they don't have a lot. Well, you got to do something, too, now. You can't remember the one without the talent didn't do anything. The ones who got were up doing. Remember I said they were investing, they were growing, they were making it happen. So you can't just not complain and then sit around and do nothing. And that's like hoping and wishing that something happens. No, you got to get up and you got to get busy. You got to take action. And so that's another part that the book I think is very good at, is helping people take action. And if not, if you, once you purchase the book does come with some other things like some free coaching. If you get the book now, most of you get it free anyway because you tune in to the show every morning. So you get the book. That would be great if you do that. But we're traveling around the country doing our Release Your Power seminars. We were down in North Carolina. Things went great down there. It was good. I had a good time. I have a couple of testimonies that I'll upload to Facebook. When I get a chance, I will upload those testimonies of a couple of people that were in the session that I did on Release Your Power. There were other sessions done as well. There was a very powerful session done on budgeting. There was a powerful session done on being a woman without excuse. And then there was another lady did a powerful testimony about her book, A Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife, very, very powerful and moving. And then we had a presentation on how to eat right, proper way to eat. And then another lady also did a powerful workshop on using what's in your well. And she talked about kind of getting the junk out and that people's wells are clogged up because they're clogged, so we can't get that stream, that flow. Like some people may feel like, well, my gifts aren't flowing, my abilities aren't flowing. And so she would say probably that there's some cloggage somewhere, like in a drain system. The drain system would flow properly. Water would flow properly through the drain system if there wasn't a clog. So that was a great, great opportunity there. So understanding that if it is to be, it is up to me. Understanding that you have everything you need already to get started. You have everything you need to get started and probably everything you need to finish as well. Just probably don't know it yet. But here's the problem. You have to tap into your dream. What is your dream? What is your passion? What is it that you're passionate about? I mean, that's when you look at your talents, your skills, and your abilities, more than likely they fit your passion. Okay, for instance, I really don't have a great ability to be a swimmer. So it would make sense for me to be passionate about swimming in the USS, you know, in the Olympics or something. No need for me to be passionate about that. I don't really have the ability to do that. At least not now, anyway. Maybe would have had that passion at age 3 and could have then been trained and exposed to the swimming pool every day. That would be a legitimate passion, but not now. It's not reachable. Okay. We talked about it's not reality. It's not reality for me to have that as a passion right now. But the passion that I have, the burning passion to motivate others to live their dream, that's doable for me even now. Because even though there's a ton of motivational speakers out there, there are a ton of people out there who are life coaches of the billions. Well, not billions, but millions anyway. It would seem that, wow, it's already so many of you. Okay, but it's a million. There's almost 7 billion people in the world. So even though there might be a million motivational speakers and a million life coaches, there's 7 billion people in the world. So there's enough people out there for us all to reach whoever we need to reach. But that is my passion, so therefore it would make good sense that I would get up at 7 a.m. and have a show like this because it's tapping into my passion. It makes sense that I would have a book, Release Your Power, because the book is about tapping into my passion. So you just need to find your passion. What are you passionate about? What do you care about? You know, and again, what is it that you find? And that's what the book helps you do, Release Your Power. Because in the book, there's a self-assessment chapter where it talks about looking at what you're good at. And then you can base those on things that, what if people told you you were good at? Some of that's good, but some of that's not good. So there are people who will tell you you're good at stuff that you have no passion for, or people will tell you you're not good at things that you are passionate about. So it talks about how to balance both of those opinions. And then you look at your own things that you've done before. What have you done in the past? What have you enjoyed doing? What did you do? I don't care if you did it for one day. What have you done in your lifetime that you said, wow, if I could do this every day, you know, hey, boy, this would be the thing I choose. You know, look, you can look at that as one way, or you could do what I encourage some people to do, or someone taught me how to do this, and it really did work. A lady taught me this. She passed away. Some of you know her, Candy. I don't know her last name. She used to work at Essex County College for years, and she was all over the community. She was always very highly involved in the community. Her name was Candy. And Candy taught me something that I never forgot. Candy said that, what would you do in terms of trying to find your passion, what you're good at, what you love doing? She says, what would you do that you would do it even if you didn't get paid for it? Yeah, what would you do when you're looking for your passion? People say, oh, I don't know my purpose, or I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what I really want to do. People say that, right? Now, I can understand that coming from a 14-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 19. That's fine. Because, you know, they're still young. Their frontal lobe is not yet fully developed yet. They're still being pulled all over the place. They're not quite sure. Okay, even a 25-year-old for that matter. But beyond that, now we began to get more focus, more clarity. So she said that in order to find this purpose, what if that's for those people who want to work in their purpose? It's a beautiful thing. I can tell you that right now. It's nothing better. It's nothing. There might be something, but I've done lots of things, and this is yet the best. You know, it's one thing to do the thing that you're intellectually gifted for. That's wonderful. But your purpose, wow, it's mind-blowing, mind-blowing. And so she said, what would you do? This is for the dreamers now, all y'all dreamers out there who want to live your dream. You don't want to just go to job. You don't just want to work. You don't want to just mediocre. You want to really explode in your passion, your dream. She said, what would you do even if you did not get paid for it? And see that right there. You know, most people, and they will admit it, some people will, they'll come on the show and tell you, some people are only on the job for the check, the paycheck, or the pension. That's it. If it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be there. There's no love. There's no enjoyment in what they do. There's no passion in what they're doing. It's the paycheck, and it's the pension. And now, with the government cutting many pensions or making people pay into it or whatever they're doing, there are a lot of people that are going to be picking up that book, Release Your Power, because they're going to want to know about this. What am I supposed to be doing? How can I live my passion? How can I operate in my purpose? How can I still make money doing what I love? Because that's what this is about, doing what you love and still making the money. How can that happen? How can that be? So we're going to talk about that on our next time around. So make sure you remind me to talk about that. That'll be Thursday, because tomorrow we have Mr. Versi L. Walker, and he brings his own topic, as those of you know. So we're out of time. We're out of show, but we're certainly not out of suggestions on helping you live the empowered life. So make sure you come back tomorrow. Block Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Elisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Elisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up. because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.